As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
All right, guys, we got the draft in 12 hours and 17 minutes. So Mel's final mock draft, Mel Kiper, he's got the Eagles taking Jahad Campbell. Matt Miller from ESPN, he's got the Eagles taking Kenneth Grant, the defensive tackle from Michigan. Todd McShay's final mock draft, he's got the Eagles taking what's considered the third tight end in the draft, Mason Taylor, tight end from LSU. We got Peter Schrager, what he's hearing mock draft. He's got the Eagles taking the cornerback Maxwell Hairston from Kentucky. Obviously, that would be like, whoa, let's load up on this position and lock it in for years until you have to pay a corner. So, no consensus. Honest to God, there's probably anywhere between 20 to 30 players the Eagles could get with their first pick. Between moving up into the 20s, moving back deeper into the 30s, or just staying where they are at 32. Wide swath of guys to choose from. That's part of what makes it tricky when you pick 32. That's why we go to the Diddy. He's not in the war room right now, but he thinks like a general manager. The general manager of the Philadelphia Eagles, Ray Dininger. Ray Diddy, how are you, sir?
Good, Joe. How are you,
Ray,
doing?
Ray, why didn't they ever hire you? I mean, why, Ray, were your talents wasted on the outside? Should have been in there.
I don't know. I mean, a lot of people ask me about that. And it's very funny. Over the years, whenever the Eagles would go off the rails, you know, and they'd go into a stretch where they were just really bad,
right,
like bottom of the barrel, a movement would start afoot. And it usually started at WIP. Why don't the Eagles hire Ray Dininger to be general manager? No one ever said this when the things were going well.
That's true.
But when, you know, when they were, you know, a chalk outline of a body laying on the sidewalk, that's when everybody all of a sudden started calling for me.
Sure.
I'm perfectly happy doing what I did over the years. But I do enjoy being the amateur armchair general manager on draft day. And this figures to be a very lively one for the reasons that you just said, is that there is no consensus out there. Everybody has different ideas of where they're going to go. I mean, you just rattled it off. It's not even like we're talking about the same position. I mean, some people are talking about tight ends. Some people are talking about cornerbacks. Some people are talking about safeties, edge rushers, tackles. It's all over the place. But if there's good news to this, the bottom line is everybody you just mentioned is a really good player. I don't know that there's a wrong answer there. I mean, those are all good players, but somewhere along the line tonight, the Eagles are going to have to make a decision.
No question. So, Ray, let's get to that. Let's start with this, because we'll break it down with all these dudes, but let me just start with this. When we go to bed tonight, give us three players that if the Eagles end up with them, reasonable, not guys that are going to go in the top 10, but reasonable to get. Three guys that you think if the Eagles get one of these three, people should be very happy.
Well, I mean, last time I talked to you, I told you at that time I was like super high on Mike Green, the pass rusher from Marshall.
Yep.
Now, when I had that conversation with you, I was unaware of all the off the field stuff. I was just basing it. On what I saw on tape.
Sure.
And what I felt then, and what I feel today, is the same. In terms of a pass rusher, just a pure off the corner pass rusher, he's the best in the draft. He's number one. I mean, if you just look at the tape and what you're looking for is an edge rusher who's going to get to the quarterback, Mike Green is your guy. Now, and that was what I said the last time I spoke to you about that. And then I began getting all these emails from people saying, aren't you aware of all the allegations?
Sure.
And all the and then all of a sudden, then I started researching it, and then I found out what there was there. Now, he's never been charged with anything formally. It still falls under the heading of allegations. But we know how the Eagles feel about that stuff. Howie was pretty clear about it at his press conference. So I would say probably he's unlikely for the Eagles. But I will tell you, I still feel, as a player, I still feel the same way I felt back then. As a pass rusher, he's going to be an impact player in this league, like, right away. He really is. But I don't think he's going to be in play for the Eagles tonight. Maybe, but I would doubt it. So you say three. Okay. Well, I'm going to start at the University of Georgia. It seems where all decisions start for this team, and that's not a bad thing. I'll give you two players out of there that I like very much. I like Jalen Walker, who's a mystery man in this draft.
So many questions about him.
Yeah, part of the problem is nobody knows what he is.
Yeah,
you know, and scouts and general managers don't like that. They want to know, is he a linebacker or is he an edge rusher?
That's the thing, Ray. This new position, this new concept of the off-ball inside linebacker who can also get up on the line of scrimmage and be an edge guy, this idea, then you've got permutations off of that. You've got guys who can do that, but then they're more credible as a coverage linebacker,
right,
as compared to an edge rusher. So you've got all like different amounts of expert ability in different vicinities of this new job description that is be an off-ball coverage type linebacker who can also go beat an offensive tackle with your pass rush moves. This is crazy town. Like this is an area that was there weren't players like this when I was playing. So it really is like uncharted territory. I have no idea what Vic Fangio basically who he thinks will fit best into his schemes. Who do you think, Ray? You say you love Jalen Walker, and you know Georgia does matter. Jalen Walker being so well rounded, it does feel like you will always have a place for a guy who can do as much as he can.
Yeah, I agree. And, I mean, he was an edge rusher a couple of years ago. This year they moved him to the off-ball linebacker. And for the early part of the season, I saw a little bit of an adjustment. If you look at his tape early versus his tape late, he got much better as the year went along. Because the change that you make is you're taking a guy off the line and you're asking him to play the game in space. And you're asking, all the angles are changing. He's going to have to make tackles in space, which he didn't have to make before. It's a whole different game. And it took him not a long time, but it took him a little bit before he got comfortable with it. But once he did, ooh, boy, he was good. You know, he's 6'1", he's 245, which some people would describe as a tweener. I don't know that he fits in every scheme's defense. He would in mine, because everywhere you put him, all he does is make plays for you. This is what makes him a very problematic kind of projection for the personnel people, because I have seen him in some mock drafts go as high as 7th or 8th overall.
Wow.
I've seen other mock drafts that have him going in the 20s, which would put him within easy reach of the Eagles for a trade-up.
Yeah.
But to talk about a guy who moved from edge rusher to linebacker this year, and over the course of the year, he won the Butkus Award as the nation's outstanding linebacker.
Yeah, how about that?
In his first year at the position. So, and he looks like a guy who's very smart. He's always in the right spot, and plays incredibly hard, like a lot of the Georgia guys do.
And the leadership, and what you hear, what you read about on the draft profiles is like, his leadership is legendary in the halls of Georgia football.
Kind of the way N'Kobe was. People talked about N'Kobe that way.
Yes, very much so. Very much. And apparently, like N'Kobe Dean did at the combine, just knocked it out of the park in terms of the interviews. When the personnel guys and the GMs and the coaches got these guys in a room and began talking to them, I mean, he was so impressive that people just fell in love with the guy. In much the same way they did with N'Kobe Dean. It very much is a Georgia thing. Those are the kind of kids they recruit. That's the way they develop them. And listen, University of Georgia helped the Eagles just win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's where I will throw him out there first. And when I went on NBC this week, they asked me to pick a guy. And he was my pick because I just think he's solid, and I just don't think you can go wrong with him. The other guy that to answer Joe's question, if you can feel good about, again, I'm going to go to Georgia, Malachi Starks. I thought he was the best safety in this draft. I think he's not, for one thing, safeties don't tend to get drafted very high. Even like a guy like Kyle Hamilton dropped way farther than he should have. And Starks is probably going to drop a little bit tonight because when he went to the combine and ran, he ran slower than people thought. And a lot of people are downgrading him. So he probably went from a guy that could have gone in the late teens to a guy that's probably going to be going somewhere in the mid-20s tonight. But he's a guy that's going to come in and be an immediate plug-and-play guy. I mean, he can play the safety position. He can play the two deep. He can play the one high. If teams go to spread formations, he can play man-for-man, almost like a corner. He's extremely versatile and really tough and always plays well, and especially plays well in big games, which I like a lot. So my third guy to get away from Athens, Georgia, and go somewhere else, I'm going to say Walter Nolan, whose name you've probably heard a lot in the last week or so, and for good reason. He's 6'3 and a half, almost 6'4. He weighs just on the edge of 300 pounds. In my view, he was so much better this year than he had been before. I mean, he was a good player. He was a real prospect when you saw him play at Texas A&M. But he was inconsistent. I mean, you'd see a couple games where you'd say, wow, this guy's really something. And then a couple games where he was, eh. This year he went to Ole Miss, and that wasn't the case. This year at Ole Miss, he was balling every week. And you see that kind of growth in a guy's game and in his preparation and his intensity level. And that's really impressive. And in the SEC, if you talked about interior defensive linemen, and SEC is a very high level of football, and you talk about interior defensive linemen, he led all interior defensive linemen in the SEC in both quarterback pressures and tackles for loss. So he's a guy that's extremely quick off the ball. You absolutely had to double team him. That's what teams are trying to do, and he was still wrecking games. You put him next to Jalen Carter. Who are you going to block? I mean, you're going to have to double somebody. And if teams, based on track record now, they're going to start off, they're going to block Jalen Carter with double. They're going to double him. Mm-hmm. Well, that's going to put Walter Nolan one-on-one a lot. And based on what I've seen now, he could be very, very dangerous in that role.
Yeah, I love Walter Nolan, too. I think they could trade up. If he's sitting there at, 25 or 26, they might make that move. Ray, you say you like Malachi Starks the most out of all the safeties, including Nick Emmanuori, the safety out of South Carolina? Or is that you like him the most out of the safeties that you think will be around at 32?
Oh, no, I like him that much.
Wow.
I like him that much. The South Carolina kid is very impressive. And is if you're just going on sheer athletic ability, boy, he looks the part, and he can really run. I just don't know that he's as
good a football player.
Yeah, I mean, I know he tested great, and he's a very good player. But honestly, among my safeties, he was third.
Who's second?
I had Xavier Watts.
Wow,
I had Xavier Watts at Notre Dame because he has one quality that I just love in a safety. He's around the football and he's a playmaker.
Yeah. Well, this is awesome.
Last two years, led all defensive backs in interceptions and passes broken up. He's around the football.
Productive.
And that's what you need. You need a guy that has that radar. If you're looking for a safety, you need a guy that has that radar that can find the football. And let's face it, I mean, without Gardner Johnson was a playmaker. And he got you turnovers. He got you takeaways. And you're going to have to replace those. You're going to have to find them somewhere. And Starks is a really good player, and he'll get you some. But Watts, if you're talking about who's the next guy, I would say Watts because he has the ability, and when he gets to a ball, he catches it. He doesn't knock it down. He catches it. So he would be, right now, he would be my number two in the safety position. But all those guys are really good. Everything you're hearing, if you talk to people around the league who seem to have a sense of what's going on, their feeling is the Eagles are very high on Nolan. I can understand that. Because the idea of putting him next to Carter, boy, I mean, the Eagles would be a very impressive front. The one trend that I've noticed, and I don't know how much this is influencing the Eagles thinking, but I know it's influencing some people around the league, is it's hard, I think, for the reasons that you said earlier, John. Teams are finding it hard to judge edge rushers because they don't exactly know what they are. They're sort of inventing this position on the fly, mm-hmm. And when you do that, you make mistakes, and you get seduced by guys' individual workouts. You get seduced by their 40 times, and you project them as athletes as opposed to necessarily where they're going to fit in your defense. And if you can swing and miss big on an edge rusher. And all, you just go back over some recent drafts and look at guys who...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Fall under that job description, edge rushers. And look at, you know, Lucas Van Ness, Kayvon Thibodeau, Chase Young, Cleveland Farrell, Solomon Thomas, even Derek Barnett. You know, guys that were what you drafted to be edge rushers and what you thought that they were going to be fell short because you're still trying to figure out what that position is. So I think that's what makes people maybe a little bit leery of drafting guys on the edge. They're going to do it because you need those players, but it's easy to miss there. I think it's harder to miss on a defensive tackle because those roles and what you're going to ask those guys to do, you have a much clearer picture of what you're looking for. So sometimes if you're just talking defensive line, and I really do think the Eagles are looking defensive line, and they should, sometimes it's safer to go with the inside player than it is to take the guy on the edge because there's less unknown.
Ray Dittinger with us here. By the way, it's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia on this very busy Thursday morning draft, and obviously a lot with the Phillies as well as we broadcast from the Tasty Cake studio. Wonderful to have you with us. Wonderful to have Ray with us. Ray, I want to go just give you side-by-side names, and you tell us if these two players are available, who you would take. I'm going to give you three different case studies here. The first is the cornerback Maxwell Hairston versus the defensive tackle Kenneth Grant from Michigan. Which would you take?
Oh, that's a real good one because to me those two guys are, if you're looking at overall value, they're very comparable.
In completely different ways,
absolutely
completely different positions.
That's
yeah,
right.
Exactly.
And by the way, trade down is not an acceptable answer.
No.
I'm playing around.
No. I really like Kenneth Grant. I do. I really like Kenneth Grant. I think that he's probably going to be underdrafted, because there's been so much attention paid to Mason Graham, who plays next to him at Michigan. But every time I saw Kenneth Grant play, to me, he and Graham are kind of like very close. I mean, I'm most people in their grades have Graham very, very high, and they should, because he is a good player. And they have Grant significantly lower. I would have them much closer. I think they were very comparable kinds of players. So if you if the way you offer that up to me, I would probably take Grant. And I think the Eagles, to me, could they go corner? Yeah, they could. I mean, they could go. Could they go safety? Sure, they could. I mean, because they have needs there. I mean, you got to replace Slay. You got to replace Gardner Johnson. But I think with this defense and with this coach especially, it all begins on the line. It really does. It begins on the defensive line. Hell, that's what won the Super Bowl for you. So, and you've had significant losses up there. And while there's probably a temptation when you look at this and you look at the quality of the defensive linemen in this draft, there's probably going to be some sentiment in the room tonight that are going to say, you know, listen, we got – there are a lot of really good defensive linemen here. You know, we can – and with all the picks that we have, 20 over the next 2 years, I mean, we can wheel and deal and get some defensive linemen. We don't necessarily have to jump for them in the first round, which maybe takes you to another place. But to me, if you have really good ones, and there are really good ones in this draft, both interior and on the edge, then I think that's where it starts with the Eagles. I'd be very surprised if they came away tonight with anything other than a defensive lineman.
All right, Ray, next grouping here. Which one would you take, Jahad Campbell or James Pierce Jr.?
Oh, Campbell.
All right, and third one. You talked a lot about these two, but I'm curious if they're side-by-side, which you're picking. Walter Nolan or Malachi Starks?
I would probably take Nolan. I would probably take Nolan because the more I watched Nolan play, and I began projecting him as a pairing with Carter, I just thought that could be dynamite inside. It really could with those two guys. And listen, I just told you how much I like Starks.
Yep.
I think Starks is the best safety in the draft. But I think you can get a safety in the second round, maybe even a guy like Watts. But you're not going to get another player of the quality of Nolan in the second round. That's just not going to happen. And I'm going to be real curious to see where Nolan goes because I'm a little bit surprised at the split of opinion on him. There are some people that I've talked to that love him. And I'm sort of in that camp. I think he's really that good. But there are other people that just say, geez, the guy just moves around. I mean, he went to like a million different high schools. He's transferred colleges. And, you know, there's a little bit of a thing. Why can't he stay in one place if he's that good? I don't know. All I can tell you is the difference in his play from last year to this past season and the move that he made from A&M to Ole Miss and the way he played. Again, how consistent. He had some spectacular times at A&M just on his physical ability. But the consistency, which to me translates into maturity, that he showed this year at Ole Miss, to me put him up on that next tier. And listen, I think he could be a top 10 pick. I mean, there are some people that really like him that much. Hmm. I would think he's probably going to drop a little bit. I'd be surprised if he dropped. You know, John was talking about maybe sort of mid-20s. I don't know if he's going to get that far. If he's the guy the Eagles like, and I kind of think they do like him, they'll have to trade up. But they might not have to trade up that far, depending on how the board falls.
Ray, another guy who could very easily drop and is a Georgian is Mykel Williams. Just an unbelievable cookie-cutter size for a 4-3 edge rusher, but nowhere close to the production. You know, so like the opposite of what you've been talking about. I think a big reason why Howie Roseman has gotten so much better at drafting is he did away with looking at the standing broad jump numbers and he started looking at the game tape and weighing that so much more than the vertical leap stuff at the combine. This guy, Mykel Williams, man, he's got every measurable you can imagine, but just never put it together on a field of play. So he's one of those guys who could fall. Like, he could go, based on the measurables, in the top 10, he could fall into the second round, third round. I don't know. That could be crazy. But Is he a guy that you personally would target, especially because you can ask the Georgia guys, hey, what do you think of him? Or is he off your list because of the lack of just good football instincts?
The tape for this year was a little bit troubling. He was better last year than he was this year.
The thing,
he's 6'5", he's 270 pounds. He can really move. He's very fluid looking. If that's the case, why did he only have 5 sacks this year? I think that when I talked to some people who have close ties to Georgia, what they said was, and this made sense when you went back and looked at the film again with this knowledge, was he played all year on a bad ankle. And the thing that a year ago that made him really good and caught your eye was his first step. I mean, when the ball was snapped, man, he was coming. And that first step was what made him special. This year, if what I'm hearing is true, he played all year on a bad ankle, didn't complain about it, didn't miss time. He went out there and played. But he's playing on a bad ankle, then that's going to compromise that first step, which took him from being like a 5-star player down to like a 3.5. So now you have to weigh that. You would assume that coming into camp next year, if whatever team drafts him, that he'll be back and he'll be healthy and he'll be
playing
more like he did.
You'd also assume that would heal at some point too.
You would assume so. You would assume so. But I mean, that's what you're talking about with Williams. Oh, sure. Yeah. When I was looking at all these players, I absolutely looked at him because I was looking at all the Georgia guys. But I mean, I don't see him. Look, he just based on the tape and just based on his sheer athletic ability, he will be a first round pick. And I'm going to be kind of curious to see where he goes because some teams could really love him and take him in the top 12. Other teams could kind of back away based on what they saw this year, and maybe he falls into the 20s. But if I'm the Eagles and I had a choice, let's say between if I'm looking at them on tiers for the Eagles, and I'm looking at the 3 Georgia guys, I would go Walker 1, Starks 2, Williams 3.
Mm-hmm. Final thing here, Ray, and this is tremendous draft deep dive here. I'm just going to hop over to the Phils and ask you this one question. And I think this is the thing probably floating through a lot of people's minds right now. The last 2 weeks, because the question is what's going on with the Phils, so let's get to it in a different way. The last 2 weeks, blip on the radar screen in their quest to be a truly great elite contending team or a real sign of trouble that leads to genuine concern? Which is it?
I had questions about them coming into the season. So, you know, Glenn and I were out to dinner like just when the season was just getting ready to start. And we were talking. We were out with another couple. And Glenn and the other guy were talking about, where the Phillies were going to finish this year. And Glenn and the other guy were like really excited about him and, you know, said, I think they're going to win the division and I think they have a real chance to go to the World Series. And I wasn't saying anything. and they said, you didn't say it. And I said, I don't see it. I really don't. And so we made a little bet. Glenn and I always love our bets.
Yep.
And so he said, okay, I'll give you an over under on wins. And Glenn said, set it at 90. And Glenn said, I'm absolutely taking the over. And I said, I'm taking the under.
Wow.
Because I the bullpen scared me. I wasn't sure at this point how effective Nola would be. I didn't think he was going to be 0-5, but I wasn't sure that he was going to be all that. I wasn't sure what you were going to get out of Suarez. Sanchez looked good last year, but I don't know if he's long-term answer. Painter, yeah, they keep talking as he's going to be. Well, okay, fine, but I haven't seen him. And they just had, they still have the same annoying holes in the lineup. They're still susceptible to these hot and cold streaks where, you know, all of a sudden they can't score runs. Defensively, I don't think they're very good. Everybody talks about them as this kind of, you know, and Real Muto clearly is on the decline. So, you know, I just didn't see them as that good. And I thought the Mets were going to be good, and they are. I thought the Braves are going to be really good, and they're struggling like crazy. But I think they'll come on. I had my doubts about this team all along. Now I don't think they're going to completely collapse. But if you asked me going into the season to rate the NL East, I would have told you I would have put both the Braves and the Mets ahead of the Phillies. So what they're going through right now isn't all that surprising because a lot of the things that I worried about have kind of come to the fore.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's true. For what people were concerned of, and this Romano guy's 10 times worse than any of us could have ever imagined.
I mean, they were putting a lot in him. I mean, they were really counting on him being the ninth inning guy. And, you know, listen, he had his issues, and it had been a while since he had been that guy. And I didn't expect him to be the disaster that he's been so far. But, I mean, that has certainly exacerbated the other problems. But there were other problems. And, I hope that they get it together. I mean, they do still have some really good players. But I just think top to bottom, my fear about this team is that they had their time. They had their chance, and it's passed. And they're now on that other side of the hill. And I hope I'm wrong about that, but you know, the struggles that they're having right now haven't been all that surprising to me.
Ray, love you. Unbelievable commentary. Enjoy the draft tonight. It's always a special night. Let's hope it's more like a Hurts than a Reger. You know what I'm saying? Let's hope Howie nails it. Ray, stay well, buddy. Always great having you on the program. Thank you, Ray.
All right. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Ray.
The Diddy. Ray Diddinger.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drop deep to left.
Otani connects and it's gone.
Skene strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.